that the number of units he's trying to put in here couldn't be done if this were done on the AR zoning generally without the cluster development. As I understand from Mr. Robertson's question, that this is being done under this environmentally sensitive area provision. I suspect that this would run afoul of some open land problems, and particularly the removal of all the trees. I think that's a big issue up here. As I got the numbers, I think they're saving 23% of the trees. That means 77 are going to disappear, 77%. And there are a lot of trees back there. And that's where the wildlife is in this area now. It's all back in those woods behind me. I see deer every day. They've been chased from the golf course. When Baywood was built, all the wildlife came over where we are. You take those trees down where we are, I don't know where they're going. They're probably going to be roadkill. And, in fact, we've seen them out there coming from the golf course over to our area, and a lot of roadkill going on. The traffic problem, the Banks Road 24 intersection is a nightmare. I do accident cases as a lawyer. I've had three or four accidents at that intersection where people were hurt. The reason is the cars coming down 24 from the golf course are flying. Even if they straighten out that intersection, they're still going to come flying down there. My understanding is there's a proposal in the plan to put a light there, and I think Mr. Tunnel at his meeting has suggested that maybe he was going to pay for that light. Well, somebody better pay for it, because somebody's going to get killed there. And I know if somebody does get killed, the state's going to foot the bill for that. But, you know, it's a shame that we have to get to that point to get there. Banks Road, people who have lived there a long time, and most of the people here have, whenever we have a heavy rain, it's underwater. It's usually one lane. There's no shoulders. And the state came by and they put some more pavement on. They actually increased the pavement level on it, which has helped a little bit. But now when it rains real hard, you got one lane instead of none. And there were big problems with ruts and holes and people losing tires and whatever when you get these heavy rains down there and that road's underwater. Now, I understand that some improvements might be made, and I think Mr. Tunnel is talking to him about that. But I think that somebody has to make sure that that's going to get done, you know, because I have a feeling that unless there's some requirements put on people to do things like that, like to pay for a light or improve these roads, it's just not going to get done because the state's not going to do it. This whole area is stressed by the number of subdivisions and traffic and things going on over there. You can't make a left turn on 24 now without, you know, risking your life. It's just gotten to that point. I don't want to reiterate a lot of things that other people have said. I think there are a lot of people opposed to it. Everybody around, a lot of the people here are my neighbors. People have been down there for a lot of years. And, you know, we don't like the idea that we're getting pushed out and this is going to become a second home community. The horse thing, I mean, it's a cute theme, but it's silly. You have an area with no pasture land. You know, somebody's going to keep their horse in a stall and go look at it. Where are they going to ride it? If they're going to ride it, they're going to probably be riding in the woods right behind me, probably in my backyard, probably in my yard. You know, there's nowhere for them to go. They're not going to ride on 24. It's a theme. It's a gimmick. It's meaningless. And take it as that, because as a practical matter, this is not a horse community. It's going to be a subdivision with a lot of houses. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, starting over here in the front, the gentleman with his hand up there. And we'll take one from this side when we're done. Equal time.
Samuel Hayes. I'm resident of Water's Edge Drive, and I'm a neighbor of Mr. Barnett's. We have been abutters to this property for 65 years. We first moved here in 1938. I am in the process of building a retirement house on Herring Creek right next to the house that our family has had for these many years. And so I'm very concerned about this development. I understood when I heard that Mr. Tunnel had purchased the property, that it was going to be developed in some way or another. But in my wildest nightmares, I never thought that I was going to end up abutting a division which has right next to me 3, 4, or even more houses per acre. There is a quality of the area, the character of the area. Mr. Barnett's talked about the wildlife, which of course has been very important to us. And you don't get wildlife just by leaving trees, but with such density of population all around. And so while I am not naive enough to think that this land could be preserved, I'd love it to be donated to the state, as Ms. Coates said. But in the absence of that, I would urge the board to require Mr. Tunnell to go back to the drawing board and come back with a plan which is less dense. The use of all that open land for an equestrian facility, I happen to like to ride, so I have no objection to, but I don't think probably I would get to do that because these will probably be, there will not be horses that will be rented out to the public. But even so, I would, as an abutter, I would rather sacrifice that equestrian facility for a less dense development that is right in my backyard. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Schrader or Mr. Palkowitz or somebody, would you address this issue that seems to be some confusion about the density? We keep hearing about 4.85 versus 2. Or Mr. Robertson or someone, Mr. Lank.
I've got an answer, but I'd like to hear Mr. Schrader's answer.
Well, the answer that I would offer you, sir, is, comes from the newspaper article that took 104 acres, I believe it was, but took the total number of units and applied it only to the lots that were being developed. The project
to
is
the acres that are being developed, did you
with,
mean?
With housing actually
right.
on it.
Okay.
Starting with the concept of gross development of the project, the gross development area is the entirety of the tract of land. Within the context of that, then under using the 2 per acre rule at 311 acres, 621 units are permitted. Then you're allowed to reduce the lot size and increase the open space, but it's 2 times 311 is 621, which is what we applied and which is permitted, which is 2 units per acre. Again, the calculation that appears in the paper is different because they have used only the area occupied by dwellings, which is not the entire project. Mr. Robertson has a different view.
No, I haven't seen the newspaper article, but I mean, there's other variables that go into there, but that's the definition of how you calculate density for this project.
Thank you, sir. So for the purposes of the planning and zoning ordinance, the density is in fact two per acre. I actually tend to think that both calculations are correct, except the one that applies to our ordinance is 2 per acre. Okay, who's next? Somebody from this side, the lady with her hand up right there. Yes, ma'am, come on. Okay, we need your name and address, please, okay?
Good evening. My name is Carol Wells. I live at 4 Blackberry Lane in Pinewater Farm. Mm-hmm. Pinewater Farm is the property that is at the peninsula between Burton's Prong and Hopkins Prong. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Sloan is in the audience this evening. She and her husband, Sam, owned that farm property millions of years. And have
of a deed that was cut in stone.
That's exactly right. That's
right,
exactly
then.
Right.
Well,
they have always been good stewards of their land, of the creeks. I think the thing that people forget most of all is that what brings people to this area is the resort and the water. And we are very busily spoiling both of those. The highways are covered with stores, it looks like Ocean City. The water is slowly but surely going downhill. The bays are under great stress. There will come a time when we cannot save the bays anymore, and people will have to go someplace else to ruin it. This area has always been a very beautiful, loving, and caring area. Farmers have cared for their land. People have taken care of their properties. With all the people coming in now, we are not able to do that anymore. We've heard lots of talk about how we're going to solve all these problems, but the one thing I didn't hear tonight, and maybe it's not just Mr. Tunnel's problem, but all of our problem, is how are we going to get these people out of here in case of a disaster? Is it going to be like the last White House and Congress thing where they thought a plane was going to hit it and they yelled over the loudspeaker, "Emergency, run." And everybody ran out into these open areas because they had no plan. We have no plan. When was the last time you went to Beebe Hospital to the emergency room? If you were not dying, your expectation was 6 hours in the emergency room. If you had to stay in the hospital, many people have to spend the night and many of them the next day in the emergency room because there are no beds. There are no beds anywhere. People going in for same-day surgery who have to stay overnight often have to remain in the recovery room for 5 or 6 hours until they dump somebody else out and give you the room. These are things that we are not looking at. People say that this development will bring 1,200 cars. That's on a good day. On a weekend, I'd be willing to bet on 3,000 cars in there as families arrive, people coming in. It doesn't make any sense to continue to grow these areas at a breakneck speed. 600 houses here, 300 houses across the road, 500 houses on 24. Where do they go? When we go out of our development, which is a no-outlet development, every day now, I have to add at least 15 minutes to my drive to get out of my development. This is just the beginning unless we take a stand once and for all and say, we have got to slow down. We've got to look at what we're doing. We think that we are protected, that we will never have a hurricane here, that we will never have a major disaster at one of the big nuclear plants right up on the river. We're kidding ourselves because it is going to happen. And when it does, every one of you, every one of us, and everyone on the county council can sit and look at Katrina and the 1,000, 1,500 people who drowned, people in hospitals that couldn't be evacuated because there was no way to get them out of there. We can all look at each other and say, damn, I should have thought about that. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir, all the way in the back.
My name is Alan Ide. Live at 42 Creek Drive in Winding Creek Village, I just want to address a couple issues here. The first one has to do with Banks Road. We've heard already some comments about them. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was something I think that maybe is a little bit of an assumption from what I've heard, and that is that the DelDOT is going to do something with Banks Road. I know DelDOT has yet to turn in their report to you all, but I understand it'll be turned in within possibly a week or so. So there's obviously details there that I or you can't address at this point, but I think there's a couple issues that we might be able to address. As I understand the situation right now, the developer plans to do something with Banks Road between Green Road and 24, sort of unspecified, but that's okay because he hasn't really been pinned to the wall yet on that. The other part of it is what happens between Green Road and Long Neck. And the other night at the meeting that some of these people have alluded to, Mr. Tunnel made it quite clear that he didn't have any plans to do anything with that section of the road. Now, that's a road that's currently rated as a rural road. and we have a small concrete, old concrete bridge down there just past Winding Creek on Guinea Creek there. And you add another 1,200 cars to that area, especially on a busy day. I know Mr. Tone suggested that probably there wouldn't be much traffic going down that way. It would probably be going up to 24. But having lived here now for 10 years, or in the area for 10 years in Winding Creek 6, I can tell from my own experience and that of my neighbors is that a lot of us are more and more going that way because there's some banks, there's a food fair, there's gas stations, and if we don't want to deal with the traffic on 24 on a Saturday, or we don't want to have to go Route 1, it's a nice option. It's only reasonable, I think, to assume that 600 more people coming in there or 1,200 more people are going to feel the same way after being here a short time. So I think that's a very important part of the road to consider, and I don't want anyone to overlook that. I have just found out that originally the DelDOT had planned on doing something with that portion of the road. In fact, I think they had a project number and a schedule date. But I've just learned that they've taken that off the table because they don't have any money, which is no news, of course, to most of us. So right now, there's no plans. There's no commitment for that section of the road. So in essence, what you're talking about is, for all intents and purposes, all that traffic is going to be continue to run on a rural road that wasn't designed for it in the first place. And of course, it runs in front of Winding Creek Village, and we got so many people trying to get out of there, going either north or south or east or west, whatever it is. I get confused on that direction. So I think this needs to be a very important thing for all of you to consider, and I just didn't want any assumptions made that DelDOT was planning to do something with that portion of the road when it's my understanding they are not. And I guess that'll be confirmed or whatever whenever they come in with a report. The other thing I'd like to address for a minute is the sewer. And my understanding from the other night was that the waste would be pumped from Bridalwood over to Baywood and processed over there, as we all talked about. One of the interesting things I found out in this report was that, Sussex County, when Sussex County provides a sewer service, it requires that the treatment system to be abandoned and a direct connection made to county system at the developers and or the homeowners association expense. The response by the developer was, it is noted that if the county provides a sewer service in the future, it is required that the treatment system be abandoned and a direct connection made to the county system at developers and or the homeowners association expense. However, due to legal issues regarding this issue, we declined to offer a commitment at this time. Now, that's pretty significant because we talked earlier about community sewer systems and that type of thing. And so we're a little bit up here as to what could happen in the future if the developer is not nailed down to a commitment on that somewhere along the line or other alternatives are found. I think one of the issues here is that you're talking about a developer that excuse me, let me back up on that a little bit. I don't want to go that direction. It said, if Bridalwood at Baywood would use the existing treatment plant and other wastewater facility serving Baywood, the Sussex County Engineering Department must be provided with a design from a qualified engineer that shows the whole system serving Baywood has capacity for the addition of proposed project. So those are the two real requirements, that they show future capacity and that they make some kind of commitment to that sewer system. As a Winding Creek resident, I have a little more than a passing interest to that, to their commitment, in that the fact that there has been rumors, there has been some overtures, comments made, that they wouldn't object if Winding Creek residents could be enticed at some point in time to hook into their sewer system, assuming that we would want to do that now. But the problem for us, of course, and if we don't have any kind of a commitment, we wouldn't really want to go that way either. So I think that's something that does have some relativity to Winding Creek residents as well. The only other thing I'd like to comment on is the Department of Agriculture does not support the project, and neither does the Division of Historic and Cultural Department support the development. They give a number of reasons, but it's in the report, and I don't guess I probably need to read that for you guys. So I thank you very much for your time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Schrader, the gentleman raised two issues that I'm a little confused on from your presentation. One is, several people have referred to a pending report from DelDOT.
The response, let me respond to that first, and that is that the traffic impact statement has been submitted to DelDOT. Mr. Palkowitz alluded to the fact that there would be comments received at a later date. Those comments would be returned to the developer, not to the commission. I think the point of confusion was made by the first witness when she, maybe the second, suggesting that it was the second witness, who suggested that the record be left open for a period of 15 days to receive further comments from PLUS that would be responsive to the rebuttal that was submitted to PLUS. I will point out to you that there is no further response from PLUS after a rebuttal is submitted by the developer. At that point, the PLUS comments stop, and there are no further recommendations or comments either from PLUS or PLUS agencies, either to the developer or to the commission. The dialogue is closed at that point.
Okay. All right. And the sewer?
The sewer takeover?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the gentleman's speaking of, but the sewer takeover law, and I think Mr. Robertson will, and I have debated this a number of times in recent months, I think we understand the law. Basically, we have different approaches to the way law works. But if, in fact, a certificated utility has a wastewater treatment plant that collects, treats, and disposes of wastewater in an area that was certificated by the Public Service Commission and is in an area where the county would like to take over the sewer system, then under Chapters 65 and 67 of Title IX, the county can do so. The county then is obligated to compensate the owner of the utility for at least those portions of the wastewater treatment facility it takes over, which would include the collection and treatment and disposal piping, the apparatus that goes with pump stations, whatever you have, perhaps a wastewater treatment plant if it's taken over by the county. The debate that Mr. Robertson and I have is whether or not the certification by a public service commission has value and whether or not that is compensable. I don't believe that there was a comment from the county engineering department in this particular application that indicated that the area was in a study area or that the Sussex County engineering department opposed the application. And I just to elaborate on that for a minute, somebody referred to Bay Colony. Bay Colony was a system that failed. It was taken over by the county, but it failed not because of anything that has happened at Long Neck. The Long Neck plant has never been cited for any violations and is viable.
Right, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Wheatley, just real quick, I would agree with Mr. Schrader's characterization of that and the debate that continues. I just want to point out that the debate that we're talking about, to my knowledge, doesn't affect this particular wastewater treatment plant. It deals with others, and I don't know whether the CPCN issue that we're talking about and whether the county takes over a system, that's more of an engineering issue. Not so much a land use one.
The issue that I think certain members of the public are concerned about is whether or not they can be forced, coerced, required to hook up to a public system at some point in time.
Well, that possibility exists and has existed where septic systems have failed. And there are public utilities that provide wastewater treatment near where they are, but
right.
Not
these folks are talking about systems that are functioning and they're not having issues. Is there? And
I'm going to defer to the county attorney on that.
I thought you might. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a variety of different ways, and I don't know that either Mr. Schrader or I want to debate how that could occur. I mean, but an example is if the county follows the appropriate statutes, it could create its own sewer district in which there's connection obligations. I mean, there's any number of variables that could come into play, and I think we're probably getting a little
far afield. We are. I would agree with that.
But just for the record,
we're good. Force. We're good. Just take a seat, all three of you. Okay, we've had. Thank you. Okay, which side of the room are we on this one? Okay, yeah, right in the center, sir. Yes, you. Didn't mean to cut you off, gentlemen, but it's 9:45.
And in that vein, too, Mr. Chairman, another point that was made with the rules of procedure of the Planning and Zoning Commission, I want everybody to remember that the chairman does have the ability to limit repetitive testimony or set time limits. we've heard a lot of excellent remarks this evening, and it doesn't add anything to the commission if you say it twice or three times. Just because you say it more than once doesn't make it resonate any better with any of these gentlemen up here. So, thank you.
All right, sir. Go ahead, sir.
My name's Sean Rogers. I live on 298A, and my family also has a house down on Hopkins Prom and Sean's Hideaway, which my grandparents built. I take my son to school every day, and I feel like I drive more with the rearview mirror than anything else anymore because I've been rear-ended about three times. I don't think it's just 298A. It's also Route 24. It's terrible. As far as the improvements, talking about 298, something being done, I was here 10 years ago or whenever it was, when it was proposed, the Greens, it was called then, which is now Bay Woods, excuse me, mm-hmm. was going to be developed, same place, Bay Woods. No improvements been done on 298, same talk, no improvements. The corner they talk about donating to make a turn in there, that's going towards Millsboro. If you go out of 298, you make a left, that's towards Millsboro. Most of the traffic's going to be coming from the east to the west. That's where 90% of the traffic's coming from. They're not going to be coming from Millsboro to go to Bay Woods. Maybe a few will, but the majority will be coming the other way. As far as this being an extension of Bay Woods, I think it's an extension of Bay Woods, Potnets, the whole peninsula, all of it. I mean, we're just engulfed by tunnel vision. Excuse me. But, and I also like to say that the first woman who spoke, one of only two, does not own land down there. She leases land. She's not an owner. All the people you hear are concerned here tonight are landowners. As far as buffer zone goes, anybody's considering a buffer zone, looking like trees or that, come to my backyard, it doesn't look anything like that. It's all dirt. All the trees in my backyard are cut down. There's a fence now, and there's dirt all along there. No trees. There's a couple along the fence line. There's tractors at 6:30 in the morning, beeping. A lot of times I have a service station in Dewey Beach. I don't get home until 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes. 6:30 in the morning, tractors are fired up in my backyard. There's dust, dirt everywhere. There's lights on at nighttime from Baywood. There's night golfing. Where it's all woods, tranquil, now the whole place is lit up sometimes at night. If you want to look at the density of what some of this is going to look like, turn off of Route 24 and go directly into Baywood and look at the houses for yourself, and that'll give you a lot better concept of what the density actually is going to look like. I'm serious. Turn off 24 and go in there. I lived in Wilmington for a while. I hated living in the suburbs. That looks a lot worse than the suburbs to me. Also, my well is behind Bay Woods. I don't know a whole lot about septic, but as far as spreading it onto the golf course and then adding 600 and some more homes, they're going to be spreading it onto the same golf course. I'd like to know who's going to test my well water before and after. And that's about it.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, folks, if you have something different, okay, if it's different from what we've heard, I would be more than happy to have you come up and tell us. If it's not different, then you're going to be embarrassed when you get up here, okay?
And one thing I do want to add, too, to that is just because you don't speak doesn't mean you won't be accounted for.
Yeah, we are going to take a show of hands when we're done, so don't leave.
Yeah.
Okay, you in the red shirt better be different because I'm going to be watching you, okay? I got my eye on you.
Dale Biller. I live in Whitetail Lane, 22461 Whitetail Lane. We had a lot of good comments, but my question is, the first thing he put up on the board was there was going to be a guardhouse. He said, and that's all he showed. He didn't show where it was going on the development. He just showed a picture of it.
I can have him show you right now if you want.
Okay, I would like that.
Falkowicz, show the man where the guardhouse is, please.
Right in through here.
So this is part of your development.
Yep.
This is your development. You're putting the guardhouse just on this side.
Yep.
This side does not have a guardhouse.
No, correct.
Okay.
Mr. Falkowicz, maybe if you could turn it and show
turn it around and show
people.
Everybody else, too.
right here is where it's going to go.
Green Street?
No.
Green.
No. Green Road's right here.
It's going into Major
right
Bridge.
Onto this part
south
of
Delta Valley.
Mr. Packowitz, we're not going to get into a dialogue with everybody.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah, okay. We're done.
Okay.
You need to answer the man's question. Go ahead. What next?
Okay, and also, DelDOT requested two turnabouts within a half a mile. I've never heard of such a thing. Next question is, I think the panel asked Attorney Schrader a couple times about the equestrian center. He said it was not they're not buying or selling anything. They're renting spaces. Well, that's what rental storage spaces do. They don't buy or sell anything either, but that's a commercial building. So this should be treated as such also.
That's why I raised the issue with him, sir. I think we do need to investigate that.
Okay. And another thing, where are they taking the horse trailers into the equestrian center? There shows no entrance into the equestrian center from any of the roads.
Mr. Falkowicz, show us the path of the horse trailers, please. Turn it around so everybody else can see it. And, all right, show us. Go ahead, do it again.
So they go through the development.
Mr. Packowitz, is it safe to say it's going to go down, I think, Green Road and then turn into the development?
Correct.
Okay.
Doesn't go between any houses, but it goes beside some? Is that
correct.
The idea? Okay.
Does
pass some. All right, sir, thank you. All the way in the back, the lady, and I'm pleased, better be different, okay? Needs to be different, because I'm going to stop you if it's not. Oh, I've seen you before. Yeah. How are you? Give us your name and where you live, please.
My name is Rosalyn Allen Eccles, and I own property in a town called Jimtown, Delaware, which isn't too far from where this community is going to be located. I have a question about the Western Parkway in relationship to the Western Parkway, DelDOT, the thing that you guys are going to be meeting on in January.
That's not the subject of this public hearing, ma'am.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, as it relates to this particular development.
All right. Now you're doing better. Okay.
I hadn't finished.
I'm sorry.
What I was going to ask was, were there any provisions that DelDOT had in the PLUS process regarding this development, whether it should be on hold or go forward in relationship to where they're going to place the Western Parkway?
Mr. Couts, I looked at the PLUS comments. I don't know that there's any.
I don't think it was mentioned, ma'am.
Not sure how it relates. I'm not even sure the Western Parkway.
You probably read it.
There's been no mention regarding that parkway.
Okay, thank you. There you go.
And my second question is, there's so many similarities between the development that was approved behind my mother's house, Marine Farm, and this development, mm-hmm. One of them being the equestrian center, and you were saying that you had to research an answer. You already gave us an answer on it, I knew you knew this was coming. So I'm wondering, is it a farm or is it a business? Because you guys have already researched this.
That was a different project with different situation. That was an RPC, not a subdivision,
yeah,
which makes a difference. And one of the things, as I recall, it was a conditional use for that equestrian.
This is the thing. They asked for a conditional use. They haven't asked for one. We're wondering if maybe they need one.
Okay.
But we're going to find out.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Something different. It's going to be different, right? Okay, well, come on, because you waved to me earlier. You can come up here.
See, I'm going to eliminate all of these things here except for two. Gail Schaefer, Winding Creek Village, 78 Creek Drive. Okay, the two things that I'm concerned about that we haven't mentioned tonight. Last year at our 2005 annual Winding Creek Village Association meeting, we were told by Mr. Tunnell and his son that there would be public events taking place at the stables. Okay, and that I would like explained because that will also impact the number of vehicles that will be traveling up and down Banks Road. See, it's different. Second one.
Did I say anything?
I know you have me so intimidated. Okay, and the second one is is the emergency services. I think about the fact of the ambulance corps, the volunteer department. We have more problems all the time having more volunteers for the fire departments that are coming down. People are older that tend to be moving down here now and can't climb up those ladders anymore to save everybody. So we're going to have less and less people that are volunteering for some of the services that are needed. We have already a lot of problems with Long Neck Road. It's a one-way street. Now we've got Green Street that's a one-way street. Basically, it's a no exit, and we're going to have ambulances and everything trying to get around the rotaries following the big farm equipment down the road that's trying to go to the farm that this lady runs. That's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. Mr. Tunnell, would you like to address the lady's question regarding the public events that might be taking place at the proposed equestrian center?
Yes, in reference to the public events, I believe in that meeting we were alluding to potential shows in the arena. As to the frequency, I mean, it's not going to be every weekend. I'm not sure right now. Like I said, we're still in the preliminary stage of that. But that would be the intent. It would be the shows in the arena.
All right, sir. Thank you. Nope, you're done. One to a customer. Something different over here? All the way in the back.
My name's Tiffany Derrickson. I live at 30234 Harmon Hill Road, and I just wanted to bring in one thing that I don't think has really been focused on this evening. I am opposed to Baywood's application, of course, and as a lifelong resident and a farmer in the area, I think it's very important to note that this is Long Neck is a level 4 area, which is part of Governor Minner's, which she's trying, hopefully still, Livable Delaware Act, is to remain an agricultural area. Therefore, I think the council should note that Baywoods does not represent the type of developments appropriate for this environmentally sensitive level 4 agricultural area.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, anyone else with something different? All right, sir.
It's more of a question.
Okay.
My name is Mel Mousley. Mel Mousley, and I live on 33736 Green Road.
All right, sir. And your question?
I have a horse barn back in there. Uh-oh. And so I know a little bit about horses.
Sounds like it.
And I think this is a forest, what is Equine Center, in order to get the cluster rule in that they could put that many houses together. And if you look at Green Road and putting the two circles in there, I think I heard somebody say that Del Dot approved that. And I can't understand why anybody that lives back where I do would want to drive through a development with two circles to get back to our properties. I mean, if you look at that map, that is a development right over top of a road. It's plain and simple. So every day I'm going to have to drive through a development with my own horse trailer. I know a lot of people oppose that, but I do live back there and I got horses. And it's just unbelievable. And for them to say this is not a heavily dense area, it just... And Bay Woods over there. I've been over there. I play golf. I love it. It's a beautiful golf course.
We've heard that.
Okay. The problem is with that density over there, it's broke up with the golf course. This is not broke up at all. Thank you.
All right, sir. All right. Very good. Anyone else with something different? All right, sir. Yeah, you. Yeah, come on.
Come on down.
Come on down.
My name's Robert Augenfuss. I live at 24245 Coy Lane, which Coy Lane abuts one boundary of this proposed project. I've heard reference to 50-foot setback all the way around. The plan I reviewed over in the Office of Planning showed 30 feet on Coy Lane, not 50 feet, unless there's been a change in that plan.
We'll find out.
The second point I want to make is many of us have seen a bald eagle flying around there, and we're sure looking for that nest. And
you better find her quick, because I imagine you're not the only one looking for that nest. Okay, seriously, though, you have, in fact, sighted some bald eagles in that area?
Yes. Yes, we have. And I would look, like to have that setback looked at along Coy Lane.
I'll look at it right now. Mr. Packowitz, can you, would you assist a, if you could show him what you're talking about there, and he'll
I have to check to see that it's even right away, but the intent is to have a 50-foot buffer there. And if it shows 30, it's intended to be 50.
It is intended to be 50, and that is on the record that it's 50. Let the record duly note that it's a 50-foot buffer, not 30. Okay? All right, sir. Good luck with the eagle. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? It better be different, you, sir, with the blonde hair. Okay. Be different, and then really short would be good too.
I don't know. I'll try.
Well, you see you coming up here with a notebook. I'm telling you right now, you're not reading that into the record. Go ahead.
All right.
Your name is?
My name is Burr Monroe. I live down Green Road, 33766 Long Lane. I have a few questions and a few statements. Okay, my first question is, if you cut out the understory of forest, that increases runoff. So does the stormwater account for that increase in runoff? And that's for Mr. Tunnel.
And it's an affirmative shake of the head from the,
yes.
From the engineer.
Okay. Another question. Will there be horses in the 50-foot buffer zone?
They get loose, I guess there will be, but are there walking intended to be paths for the horses in the 50-foot buffers? Is there any shown on the plan?
I think there's bridle paths that are proposed within the open areas, whether that's included in actually what they're calling buffers, I'm not sure. But.
Okay. Now, here's a couple of misleading statements I found. Baywoods homes are not all sold, correct?
You need to ask me.
Oh, correct. Sorry.
Okay, I'll find out for you.
Okay. And if so, the projected school effects? They're school children, two school children. That would be flawed if it's not filled.
Understand? I'm not sure, quite sure what your question is.
So if the homes aren't all filled, and their estimate for children going to the school district is based on an empty development, not empty, but partially filled development, how is their projection correct?
Well... You may. Come on up, Mr. Tunnel.
It's not a projection. That's a letter. It's in your packet. It's basically it's the number of elementary school children in the
today?
Elementary school today, okay. With 242 homes.
So it was not a projection.
No, it's not a projection.
But you have misled us.
No, wait a minute.
No, we're not going to get in any.
We're
okay.
Not going to go
it.
There.
Okay.
Okay,
now another one is they came up here and said that 41% open space. Now that includes the stormwater. Now, you could never reduce it to the rate that you spoke of. So, once again, you have misled us.
No, I'm sorry, never what? Use it to the what?
You could never use stormwater. Is that included in the... Okay, he spoke of 41% open right. Space. Now...
Is the stormwater management area included in that calculation?
There's a breakdown if you'd like to give it to you.
No, I just want you to answer my question.
Is that in the information that
yes,
you provided?
Yes,
and it is in the information that has been provided. So, yes, answer your questions, yes, that it is included in the open space.
That was a little misleading. All right, another statement
could it,
I'd like
could
to
it
make.
Possibly have been that maybe you just didn't understand it?
No, because I've read it, but then when they came up here, they tried to paint a glossy picture on what they were talking about.
It's kind of what they do.
Yeah. Okay, another one was...
I understand that. Go ahead. What else is on your
so
mind?
So the aquifer... is projected to drop 1 foot.
We've already heard that.
I believe that my residence would be on that same aquifer. Now, subsidence happened in New Orleans where the aquifer was lowered, the ground level dropped, and when a storm came, let's remember the emergency that took place.
Okay.
And I think everybody should be aware of the total maximum daily loads. I would like to know who prepared this statement on the figure 11. And that would be, let's see, no page numbers, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's your answer to the plus comments, it looks like.
The plus comments are prepared by the state of Delaware, and the responses that are in blue are prepared by the applicant. applicant's engineering team, the design team.
So these are plus comments?
The, if you're looking at tab 11, the
ones that are in black are what the state had to say. The blue comments were the applicant's answer.
Okay, may I read one of those?
You things? May.
Okay. Watershed assessment expects that project, as proposed, would significantly further degrade the quality of adjacent waterways. It is recommended that the nutrient protocol be applied to this project in order to inform the local government as to the estimate magnitude of the application degradation. Pursuant of Section 303 of the Clean Water Act, adjacent waterways have been determined to be impaired. A total maximum daily load has been developed to establish the nitrogen and phosphorus load reductions necessary to achieve water quality standards. Not only does the project design ignore the needs to reduce pollutant loadings, it promotes additional degradation. Now, I would just like the little blue sentence to be explained a little further.
I think what they're talking about in the blues, and I can answer this in tab 19, there's their nutrient loading assessment protocol worksheet, and I think that's based upon engineering studies that the engineering team has done. You know, and that's all reviewed by the state and by DENREC as well. So,
now, have they done anything to better that situation from after the state has looked at it?
Mr. Chairman, I suppose if you wanted to, you could ask Mr. Palkowitz, but they have to comply with the nutrient budget that they've established and the state will sign off on.
As part of that budget that was prepared, the appropriate line is, with your proposed BMPs, best management practices, your proposed development meets the required TMDL reduction for both total nitrogen and phosphorus. Congratulations, you meet the required reduction. So that's according to the budget that was prepared in response to those comments. Apparently, they meet the requirements.
Apparently. Okay, thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Something different. Lady all the way in the back.
I'm not sure I can even remember my name.
Well, you better, because we can't let you talk if you can't remember your name.
My name is Pat Painter, and I am concerned. Where is he going to put that little house? We've lived back there on Daddy's farm, on the old Josh Massey farm next to Mrs. Green. That's at the end of Green's Road. You can't go any further. We're at the end. And we've lived there for over 50 years. And I want to know about that little house that I have to go through, the guardhouse. Does that have those little things? I have great big Sunday school trailers. All my nephews over here have great big construction trailers. My husband has big construction trailers. Are we going through a little thing to get in and out of our property now? I mean, this is our personal property, and we have to. Could he show me where that is?
He can.
Where is that, sir?
Sure.
Just show me, honey, where it is.
No problem. This is Green.
Yeah.
The guardhouse is going to be over here.
It's not
going to
fail.
No, ma'am.
Hey, everybody, hold it on. The lady has the floor. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. What?
Thank you.
Are you okay?
It's not on my road. Are
you good?
Through those things.
Hallelujah. Okay.
Ma'am, can we have your name, please?
He gave her name.
Mr. Lank didn't get it.
Oh,
Painter.
Ms. Painter. Well, I thought you were talking for the tape. I'm sorry.
No.
Mr. Lank. Okay.
Mr. Lank.
Okay. Does anyone else have something different? All right. I already asked you, but hang on. Let's do the one in the back here. All right, sir. Come on. You're next, Mr. Tyler. Unless he steals your thunder. Okay.
My name is Wayne Erickson. I live on 101 Pinewater Drive on Pinewater Farm. And I don't know, the Planning Commission here might want to think about in the future, since we're in an electronic age, of the submittals that that were submitted, creating a PDF version that you could put on the web. Since you're already putting the vocal record, you could easily put a electronic version of the submittal so the public can review them before a meeting such as this. Just something for you to consider in the future. And then also I heard this morning on the radio that the Center for Inland Bays or something did some sort of study on Burton, on Hopkins Prong and some other place about the pollutant levels they found in. I don't know what the results were, but it's something you should take a look at and consider. And then also night glare pollution, night pollution, you know. You can install lights with hats and things so they have a big glare, like stadium-type glare at night. Because if you live on Hopkins Prong, it's very nice at night. It's not real glary, not a lot of night pollution. And Mr. Tunnel lives on the end. I'm sure he looks out at his house at night. He doesn't look at a lot of light and glare and that sort of thing, too. I think that covers it.
Okay. All right, sir. Mr. Tyler, you're up.
First of all, I think Jack Allen would be proud of how you're handling the meeting tonight. I heard a little Jack Allen in some of your comments there.
I had a good teacher.
You certainly did, and I miss him.
Especially tonight.
My name is Mike Tyler. I'm president of Citizens Coalition, and you know who we are. We're a citizen activist group. And one of the things that we talk about is managed growth, and it looks like this is the kind of growth that's managing us, and we're not managing it. The purpose, and I'll read the environmentally sensitive developing area for the people who are here. The purpose of designating the environmentally sensitive developing area is to recognize that the inland bays of Sussex County are a major resource of the county and must be protected from insensitive development in the surrounding area. The question I would ask, and I'm sitting here listening to all these people talking and everything, is how does this community benefit our county and how does this development benefit our county and our community? I don't see it. I would like to know, of the houses that are already platted on Mr. Tunnel's property, how many have been built? I think a lot of them haven't even been built yet. And if I were going to be sitting in your place, I would say, you're not going to build anything until you finish what you got. Because we're not, you know, the people aren't considering cumulative impact. When you talk about 1,200 cars, okay, let's see, I go to the grocery store, I go to the doctor's office, I go pick up the kids, I go fishing. That's four trips times 1,200 cars. Figure the math, 4,800 cars. Double that, that's 9,600 cars on Bank Road. And you know I'm a cyclist, I love riding on Bank Road. They paved it, it's great, I can ride on it. Except on the weekends when I almost get run over. But during the week, I can ride on that road and it's smooth and it's great. They even smoothed out where the turn was by the bridge. But it's a rural road. I know if Till Purnell was here, she'd still be standing talking to you.
Still be listening.
Yes, you would. Yes, a great lady. So I would say staging would be very important here. Yeah, if you may want to improve it, but approve it on the condition that build out what you have first and let the infrastructure catch up, because that is the biggest problem we're facing with in this county. The infrastructure can't keep up with the development. And so that's why everybody's complaining about traffic. And so let's get this infrastructure straightened out first. You know, I think the 100-foot buffer is commendable. I think that's a great idea, but I'm not sure what that's going to bring. As far as the horse thing, that went through my mind right away. Machinery cleaning out, tractors, other noisy machinery, weekend, whatever they do with horses, not regattas, but shows, you know, that's noise.
Tyler.
Yes, that's noise.
Your warning.
Okay.
I heard that once.
That's an event. And I'll